When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Binge Town TV. On last episode, Alex made fun of me because the way I said Binge Town made it seem like I didn't have a nose whatsoever. I think it just disappeared. It sounded so nasally. We listened to it like 1,000 times. So what's up, everybody? Welcome. We're back for season 45 of Survivor, episode 5, titled I Don't Want to Be the Worm, said by Kendra after just epically failing to eat a worm, which is fine. Julia is back. Her dog's lice has been cured. We're all good here. Jewel, what's it like to be back?
Oh, I'm so excited. It was a bit of a cluster last week when we went to go record, but everyone's been treated. Nobody's itchy. Yeah, we're all great.
All right. So for episode 5, a pretty weak episode. Do you disagree?
I do not disagree in the slightest.
Yeah. We watched together last night and we sat down to watch and, you know, it didn't inspire me, but I already cannot believe that next episode is the fucking merge. That's insane.
It is and it isn't. And we can talk about that when we get into the tribe breakdowns.
Okay. So before we get into it, I think what everybody wants to hear is what is our fixation of the week? And Julie and I both said we don't know each other's, but we both have two. So we're going to say them at the same time. And the boys on Binge Town never let me do this. So I'm so glad that she's enabling me. Okay. Ready? On three, we're going to say both of our fixations of the episode. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Push hands and pizza.
Push hands and pizza. Yep. I have it written right here in case you didn't believe me.
I think you're like, that was like so delayed. That was so funny. Like you were like 2 whole seconds after me.
No, I wasn't.
I can't wait to hear it in the playback.
Can you say it again?
Okay. 1, 2, 3. Push and touch.
Push hands.
And pizza.
Push hands and then just touch hands.
Okay, so
I can get hands.
Pizza really transcended multiple like minutes of this episode. So
yes,
when Jake was having his little heart to heart, his backstory, he was wearing pizza socks for one. And then all of a sudden during the votes, everybody had pizza and not everybody. 3 of the 5 had pizza, but the 3 pizzas weren't on the same side. And we just like talked about that ad nauseum before I left. But
yeah, food in general was a very big through line to this week's episode. We start off, which I'm a little insulted. You did not ask me what I am drinking tonight. I am drinking a Merlot. And wouldn't this go well with vegetarian
chili?
Or whatever she said. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we top of the episode is like we're fixating around food we miss, what kind of food we miss. We get, I mean, this happens, I feel like, in every season where we just get to a point where everyone's like chocolate cake and carrot cake. Remember they had that one?
Yes.
So we get a lot of food at the beginning. We get pizza as a through line in the very beginning of the episode and the very end of the episode. Let's talk about Jake's moment, because I feel like I've been listening to a lot of coverage that I think really speaks about this. Well, we've got two things of coverage that I listened to. One is On Fire with Jeff Probst, where he claims that this is like one of the most emotional moments that they've had on the show, which I also listened to Drop Your Buffs coverage, where they're like, Jeff, why do you keep saying like this is the most? Why are we like
hyperbole
leaning into everything? Yeah, it's just like, yeah, it's crazy. And like, not to say it was not a very emotional story and a very vulnerable moment that Jake chose to share with everybody. Not everybody on the beach that we know of, but everybody here, viewers at home on their couches. Right. Drop Your Buffs had a very, if you would like to listen to like someone talk about this very articulately, very respectfully, very intelligently about the topic that is very triggering to some.
Yeah.
I encourage you to go listen to their coverage.
And I really like, I'm coming to like Jake, and when he
needs to.
I mean, let's talk about what's even worse is how awful Bruce comes off in this episode. One, after saying, get up, fat ass, to Jake.
I hated that.
And then we went back to watch a little bit of that because we wanted to see like just how Jake was right before he fell. And it skipped over the Bruce part. So we thought they went back and edited that out that quickly, like watching it live. And then we rewound and we thought they had already somehow edited that out because it's so like fucked up of Bruce. Because it is. I mean,
it's very triggering. It's very triggering.
Listen, I am so on Team Keturah. Although Keturah is also kind of getting an edit that people aren't favoring her, like I'm still on her team. Like she needs to play it a little cooler. Everyone is seeing straight through her. They know she's like, what do they call her? Like abrasive, maybe? No, what do they call her? They say like something about
sloppy. Keturah.
Well, Kelly calls her sloppy for sure. And that was a sloppy moment of Keturah to just be like, you shouldn't lie at that point. Just say you were looking for idols.
Yeah.
Be like, you guys weren't here, so I just like started wandering. And she panicked, but that's okay. But either way, Keturah's saving grace is that now Caleb is seeing how awful Bruce is and how he's just bossing people around. He can't even help himself. He really can't. It's insane. Like Bruce is like, no, don't stop chopping that. No, don't stop chopping that.
Like,
and he like acts like he's kidding at the end, but inside he's just like
I can't stand it. It's very telling about Caleb's gameplay, how he chooses to react and respond to Bruce's crazy uncle energy, and that he's, and this is something that I honestly have a lot of respect for Caleb in the sense that he's able to see past that and see that there is a strategy behind keeping him around, keeping Bruce around anyways, even despite hating him. Where I feel like if Keturah at this moment in time were given an opportunity to go to tribal council, she would be gunning for Bruce and it would be based on nothing but just emotions, right?
Yeah. And I think Caleb would also gun for Bruce sooner rather than later, but Caleb's whole thing is like, don't let him see it coming.
Yeah,
like
totally.
Bruce would know that Keturah was gunning for him.
Yes.
If they went to tribal. Caleb has a really good relationship with all these ex-bellows. He's doing a really good job.
Yeah, he is. The other thing I wanted to talk about in Jake's moment was his episode.
Oh.
Where he's...
Yeah.
Of course.
Where he's twerking again.
Where he's twerking. This is another moment where I'm like, I should be concerned about his health. I am concerned about his health, especially after hearing the story. It's like, is he really okay? But in the moment, it really felt like a TikTok viral moment where, and I sent you guys the video of these groomsmen doing this today, where that they are doing a dance. One of them falls, drops to the ground. You think like he's hurt. And then all of a sudden it's like, and he just starts twerking and just absolutely shaking that ass.
Yeah.
So thank you. Thank you, Jake, for that.
It is just, I mean,
it's physical comedy.
It is. And during my rewatch today, even though he doesn't say it, I said it out loud. I said, no, what the fuck? No, what the fuck, dude? Like, no.
What the fuck? I know. And I feel bad because I think he truly, like, he's embarrassed. He was like, I'm embarrassed that my body cannot keep up. I can't even walk. He says at one point, like, I'm fine in the challenges, but I can't even walk from here to there. And it's like, that must be so frustrating. So frustrating. And like, you're showing vulnerability to the rest of your tribe. And like, we're making light of it. And just because we are who we are. But it's here. I truly hope he's okay. And I hope that this does not, I hope this is the last time that we see any sort of medical issues with Jake, because he is growing on me immensely as we get into these further episodes. I really, really enjoy him. I think he's a good dude, and I'm loving watching him play.
Yeah, this better not be foreshadowing to him getting yeeted out of the game medically, because I would really hate that for him. He says it right in this episode, like, I would rather get voted off. Fuck that. Let's just hope he doesn't, because he's growing on me as well. I love his fucking accent, and I think
I love it.
He's here to play, and I'm down to watch.
It's like kind of hot to me.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just wanted to get a get a pulse.
Yeah, no, I'm not mad at that. Okay, let's finish out New Lulu.
Okay.
Keturah looks for the idol. We already talked about Kelly calling her sloppy, Keturah putting a target on her back, all the Bruce stuff. But I think the other key thing here is that Caleb is really working it. He's doing a one-on-one relationship with literally everyone. Kelly was the last one left. And surprisingly, he said that he thinks Kelly is the strongest player on the field. And what do you think about that?
I was really quite shocked to hear that. Not because I disagree, but I think it's more how quickly I think Caleb was able to, I think he just has a good read on people, how quickly he was able to spot that. And I do think that Kelly is in a great place. Like we've talked about this on previous episodes, but she's a girl's girly. She can hang with the girls. She's a guy's girly. She can hang with the guys. Like she's pretty much a chameleon and like not playing a super forward or aggressive or standout-ish game at this point, mm-hmm. but a good social game nonetheless.
It's good. I like Kelly. She doesn't impress me that much yet, but I think, you know, she's playing the game that I think I would play, which is be friends with everybody and stay low. But the thing is, basically everyone on this team but Caleb has never even been to a tribal. So I think, and we could talk about this later when we get to New Bello, but I think that people are overestimating how close Bello is, you know, like old Bello. Basically, Drew/Basile was like, you know, I don't want six Bellos at the merge. So that's why he didn't want to get into a nerd alliance with Brando. You know, I think that there's more cracks in Bello that Brando had even mentioned than other people know about. And I don't think that the six Bello would be Bello strong if they all made it to the merge. I mean, I know they didn't because Brando just went home. But I do think that Kelly is going to be sad when she finds out next episode that Brando is kaput.
Yeah, I honestly forgot that they were kind of like squatting the middle and the old Bello tribe. But let's talk about the Reba versus Bello mentality, because I feel like it's interesting to me as a strategy. And this kind of came through, I think, in a scene between the nerds. So we have Brando and Drew talking about how they both play Pokemon competitively, or they play Pokemon Go or whatever the fuck it is. And Brando kind of starts in front of Emily, which I thought was weird, too. I guess they're like, she's inconsequential because she's not neither Reba nor Bello, but saying like, oh, wouldn't it be great if we had like, you know, nerds together, blah, blah, blah. And Basile basically is like, Bello seems rock solid.
Yeah.
And I need to keep my number strong. So like, essentially, no. Sorry, Brendo or whatever.
Emily kept saying Brendo 10 times in a row. She finally started saying it right eventually, but it was crazy how many times she said Brendo. I'm like, did you just mishear?
It like changed every time. She's like Brendel. So it's funny to me that, and I guess this makes sense because they see that the merge is coming, right? They see that the merge is coming, and they see basically a red versus blue, a Reba versus Bello split, because at this point they're kind of counting out Lulu. What I think is also interesting is that when you look at how it's shaken out, I cannot wait to see on One Beach what Caleb and Emily do now that Caleb has aligned himself with Bello and Emily has more or less aligned herself with Reba in Basile and Austin.
Yeah, and I think that actually puts them in a unique position to cause chaos, and it'll be fun. Like, they don't need to be on the same alliance to have an alliance together and like go all the way. I would be ecstatic at an Emily Caleb final trial.
try Brendo.
And this is something I want to talk about later. There's 13 players and a merge. So I want to talk about like the logistics of that. And if you think one more person gets to go home before there's the jury, you know what I mean? I think one more person goes home before the jury is set, you know? So I don't think this 13 is 13 seems like a lot for a jury. It's usually 12, I think. I don't know, like 12 people left and then 9 on the jury. like three at the end, nine on the jury. But then if there's three, then it could be a three-way tie. And I feel like Jeff doesn't like that. The math isn't mathing in my brain right now.
If the jury is eight, so I think...
So like maybe two people?
The survivor jury is eight people. If we're going to make it to a three-person final, then that's going to be 11. So two people are going to get kicked off in post-merge that do not make the jury.
Or two honestly, people get kicked off next episode somehow.
No fucking way.
Dude. Who's to say he's anticipating one more quit? They're like, really? Jake will be gone by next episode.
No.
Medically.
Maybe.
No.
Medically gone.
No, but okay. That makes sense. It can't be nine because Jeff has said like he doesn't want divisible by how many players there are because then it can end in a tie. I think there was one tie in Survivor history in Final Tribal. I don't know when it was. I don't know what they did. But I feel I remember that happening. So continuing with New Bello, since we brought up the, you know, Nerd Alliance, the Pokemon Go Alliance, once they lost, it was chaotic. And Brando did show up to play. But I never believed that Emily was going to be with Kendra and Brando for 1 second.
No.
Although
100% no.
Brando's Hail Mary was very interesting where... He goes to Drew and says, listen, I will vote with the three of you to vote out Kendra. Like, Drew was suspicious of that in the beginning. He goes to offer him his shot in the dark. Drew said, please, my sir, you keep that piece of shit that means nothing to me. Literally, it's like we keep talking about how it's just like a token of faith or whatever. And it's like, who fucking cares? Anyway, my thing about this is that if Drew took the shot in the dark and Brando was lying the entire time. So if Brando was trying to get away with the lie, which he almost did, but then Drew's like, well, why do I have his shot in the dark then? He literally gave me his shot in the dark. So Brando almost fucked himself immediately by pitching a lie and then giving him a token of like, here is proof of my lie. And then Emily would have been like, what the fuck is going on? Because Emily was almost not believing Drew until Austin came back and saved the day.
Yeah, I don't think there was ever a world where Emily was not going to be siding with Basile and Austin. I think just like, again, this is girly following her instincts. And I think I cannot see her and Kendra ever vibing. So I don't think that that was ever going to play out that way.
Yeah.
What I did want to say, though, is that I do believe that if Brando had succeeded in feeling like he convinced Drew to vote for Kendra, then he would have jumped ship, jump Bello ship.
Oh, totally. I totally agree with that.
Yeah. I'm not sure what his strategy was, especially with knowing that he was very close to being reunited with Kelly, unless he was trying to pull some like, double agent? Something like that.
Uno reverse.
Sure.
Pokemon reverse. I think like it was a good attempt to do something. Because I think he kind of knew he was on the outs. I'm not sure his social game is very strong. I mean, how would we know? This was like the most airtime they gave him. And it was only because he was going home this episode. He's a sweetie. He's so cute. Like, I think he's probably a great guy. Just didn't get a very good edit on the season. And we'll get to the final tribal because I don't really care about him going home. Sorry, I just don't. I think that's another reason why I was kind of a bleh of an episode. But I do want to talk about pizzas more. But we'll talk about that after. So I think the last camp life thing to talk about before we get into like sandwich or strategy is Sifu Squad. So basically old Reba, new Reba. It's all Reba. And we open with them because, of course, we're coming hot off of the Sean quit. So Sifu, of course, was always going to be like, OK, who wrote my name down? Now, I am like have so many problems with this because the numbers don't add up. And this is almost like when old Lulu was like mad that Emily called them out for the votes not counting. It's like one of the girls needed to say, I voted for D, and it had to be J Maya because obviously D and Mama J are besties. So it had to be Jay Maya had to lie and say, I'm sorry, D, I voted for you, even though she did not, because all three of the girls said they voted for Sean. Sifu knows he voted for Sean. So like that almost like cements that Sean voted for D, because those, you know, it's all twisted. They needed to come up with a better plan. I know there's not much time on the walk from there to there. Like they don't have any time away from Sifu to come up with that, but they need to be like a little quicker on their feet. The D vote threw everything amiss. It was wacky.
Yeah. So I'm just a little confused as to why D did not take the same approach as Sifu did to try to point fingers.
Yeah.
And be like, Sifu, I know you put my name down. Sifu, you must have put my name down. Why did we not pick another cloak to hide behind? We just dismissed that D's name also got thrown out, which in dismissing it almost admits that Sean
was
actually
the D vote.
Yes.
100%.
You should have thought that. Like that was a stupid play to me in that she didn't try to divert attention away from Sifu getting one vote by also saying, who voted for me? Who voted? Was it you, Sifu? Was it you? Like,
even
just to stir the pot and take, like, that was a missed opportunity for sure on D's part. It's also, to me, a crack in Julie and D's relationship that D didn't just say to Julie, like, hey, I voted for Sifu. I thought you had my back. Why didn't you, A? And B, you and me together in this alliance have to clean up this mess. What is our lie?
Yes, right? 100%. We were saying last night, why is D not mad at the other two girls? And genuinely mad, not even just like, okay, what do we do? It's more like, what the fuck, guys? We could have got Sifu out. We got a little bit of a talking head of her being like, we had an opportunity and it didn't happen. But man, she really rolled over. She was like, well, you know, it's okay.
The position that they took was not quite that. It was more like, yo, fuck Sean. I have no respect for him. Like,
yeah,
he's gone. He's gone. Stop talking about him. There's no reason for you to put any energy or thought into this person that's now off the island. Reorient yourself towards a strategy and like a narrative that's going to support you in the next step forward, not behind in this person that he did what he did. And now you have to pick it up. So like, why are we getting airtime about he lost all my respect? Well, he doesn't need it because he's gone. And also, who cares if he lost it? He's not on the jury either. So like, move along. Right.
Yeah. And honestly, I thought it was a good television of Sean to be like, wasn't me. Like, I thought that was actually pretty good television for his last parting words to kind of throw some gals under the bus. I think D really flopped that because Sifu was like, were you surprised by that? And she was just like, yeah, I mean, it's crazy to see your name.
Yeah,
it's like, dude,
this is what was cracking me up about that was Sifu starts by saying, I was so surprised to see my name. D, how did you feel? Were you surprised?
And then D she says, asked it back.
Yeah, I was surprised. Were you surprised? It's like that thing where you're just like, how are you? Good. How are you? Good. How are you? Good. Yeah. How are you?
It's like, I thought the same thing.
It's like, shut up, D.
Yeah, I think these girlies were really not prepared to math. Like, you gotta be thinking strategy, even if you can't talk it out loud on the walk back.
Oh, yeah. And they were just like, I don't want to talk about it right now. It's yeah. Like, yeah, because you're not smart enough to have thought of a story.
Also, I needed them to have voted out Sifu. Like, they're wusses. Just vote out Sifu. When you have a chance to get out a threat, get out a threat. And then if Sean quits, Sean quits. Who cares?
I'm sorry. Why is he a threat? Why is he a threat?
I just think he's probably a little more chaotic than what we've seen. All they do is say, like, he's causing chaos at camp. They think he has an idol.
His fake idol. I rewatched the scene where he is like, I cannot think for the life of me who he reminds me of. I'm going to need to do some like research into horror movie villains because he it's giving something that scares me. It really spooks me and I cannot place why. But his thing of being like, yeah, I made this idol. now you know my insurance policy, or like my insurance plan. And Dee goes, wow, that's huge. Just like, doesn't turn her head to look at him, doesn't need a facial reaction, just like laying back down on that bamboo shoot, just going, wow, that's huge. It seems to me in that they don't buy it, but yet in all their talking heads and confessionals, they're like, he has an idol. You dipshits. I'm sorry, girlies. I love you, Julie, Mama J. You are like tops to me. But why are you not recalling that Austin,
yes,
and Basile got the idol at your camp? You, yes, literally fucking helped them. I cannot imagine two idols in one camp being in play. So what are we missing here?
No, and Sifu hasn't gone on any wacky excursions or anything. So I thought the same fucking thing. I'm like, are these girls not using any of their brain cells? Are they, what is going on?
It feels old school Survivor. It is like old school gameplay. It is not super fan. And like, here I am contradicting, like, you guys should know better because we're in Survivor drag, but like, we are in Survivor drag. Why don't you know this?
Yeah, exactly. It is kind of what we've been going against, but it is silly. And now J Maya is going to throw herself under the bus to say that she's the one who voted for Sifu. And then Dee, who is having someone lay under bus wheels for her to take, mm-hmm, the hit, because Dee quite literally is the one who voted for Sifu. And Dee's like, well, what if we just voted her out instead?
Why aren't they having a come to Jesus moment about this as the three of them? Like, yo, who the fuck was it? I don't get it. I don't get why we're so easy to just like lay down our swords and say, yeah, I'll take the fall for this because like it makes the most sense, even though it's not the truth. It just feels ass backwards to me.
Yeah. I mean, they know it was Dee, and
really?
I wanted a conversation. Yeah, they know it was Dee for sure.
How?
Oh,
she never fessed up to it.
You don't think she fessed up to
off camera? If she did, we would have gotten that.
Yeah, well, that's why
we would have gotten that.
I wanted a conversation between the three of them being like, well, honestly, maybe that's why we didn't get Dee freaking out, because Dee's keeping it tight to the vest. Maybe Dee is literally like, it was Jay, it wasn't me. But Dee was the one who was like, Sifu, Sifu at tribal, like, Sifu.
That's shit gameplay to me.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I'm
bad.
Getting like, I'm I had to open the door because I'm getting like, my face is burnt. I'm feeling hot about this. I'm,
yeah,
burning.
I agree.
We need to move on.
And one last thing about this tribe before we get to, you know, the challenge and the strategy and sandwiches is push hands. We never talked about it. That was our second fixation. And push hands is, you know, we created a dance move last night. We created the song. It's the second single from Survivor 45, the first one being Forceps Down, the second one being Push Hands, and then just touch
hands. And then
hands.
Just touch hands. Listen, push hands is a way of life. It's a philosophy. It's an approach to how you play this game, to how you live your life. You see your competitor coming at you, you push hands, and then just touch hands so you can get hands. Satisfactions. Anyways, I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah,
it is good. My new fixation. I hope we get it one more episode because we got two episodes of Four Steps Down. I need two, if not three, more references to push hands.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with it.
Also, just another like Sifu being kind of aggressive and weird and like threatening.
Being a sociopath.
Yeah.
Like literally, and I missed this on last week's episode due to lice, but I did write down that there was a moment where he was like taking the machete and just like chopping something so casually, yeah, while talking to someone. He's giving serial killer vibes. And it's like
big time.
I don't want him to get voted off because it's October. Like I'm feeling really spooky and I like love to see him on my screen. It's frightening.
Okay. And let's go to the challenge. So Reba, who had lost last challenge and went to tribal, wins it this time, which is great. That we were proud of them because they were obviously at a disadvantage just from being down and out. Three girls, one guy. I mean, who cares about that? But this was like a pretty agile challenge. It wasn't like lift this heavy thing and like you need five burly men to do it. You know, it was just agility, shooting bags at circles, and that was that. So Reba wins, Lulu comes in second, Bello loses. But before we get to Final Tribal and just anything else we have to say about that, we've got strategy and sandwiches. So these people are dying of hunger. And it took me until my second watch to realize Austin really wanted the sandwiches. One, because he doesn't want to work with these girls. Two, the other teams won fish, which I'm bummed that they didn't show us them eating it. I really wanted to watch them eat. I get like really hyped to watch them win a challenge and eat things because they're so hungry. They always look so vulnerable when they're eating. And I just like love that shit. And so I want to watch them cook these fish and like whatever.
They had also like for not eating anything for 10, 11 days, like so many of these people had just like shit in their teeth.
Did they? I didn't notice.
Oh my God. Yeah. Maybe it was because I was sitting like with my nose pressed up against the screen, but I was like, again, spooked.
They're eating dirt. That's why.
They were eating dirt.
So the only thing of note I would say is Jay Maya, when she picks Austin to go on the trip, Austin was like, no. No, like, I'm not going to give them any information because Jay's reason was to say, you know, we know Austin will give us some deets. And he was doing his hardest, whatever, to say, no, I will not. I promise. No, get these girls away from me.
I cannot imagine that that was unprompted. I have to believe that Jeff is like stirring the pot and we just did not get the clip of the audio clip of him being like, and why?
He says why.
Oh, did he?
In the beginning, he's like, all right, the winning tribe gets to pick one from each team. And we want to know why. He does say that.
Oh, well, why the fuck didn't they just lie?
I don't know. The Kelly one made sense.
The Kelly one made sense. It's like, oh, she looks sad. Like, that's like, okay, blah, 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 blah. The best play, the best opportunity would have been if you're on a winning tribe that has former members on each of the other teams so you can get together and try to. Like, that would have been the best case scenario, right?
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Especially like, knowing what we know now, like, obviously, hindsight's 2020, but knowing that this advantage was meant to make three people have to work together.
Yeah.
You want to pick people that, like, already you have some relationship to.
So what do you think about this new advantage?
In the moment, when we watched last night, I was like, do not pick that sandwich. Play the game. Do something funky, push hands, and like pick the amulet.
Yeah.
I've had some time to sit with it. I've had some time to sleep on it. And I think it was stupid.
Agreed. And like soon as Austin shows Drew the thing, he's like, oh, so we have to kick them off. Like it immediately put the target on their back.
Yep.
Like so stupid to pick the amulet. I would have been sandwich all day. I would have eaten that like sun. Melted sandwich, just bad cheese. I would have eaten the shit out of that ugly ass sandwich. Yeah.
Like Fijian deli meats. Like, yeah, give me that.
Fuck me up, dude. Just like,
listen though. You saw a season where they have done the amulets. Have you seen it done successfully? Because I have heard that this was a season 42, which I have not seen.
That's the only one I haven't seen. I've seen 41, 43, and 44 and 45, obviously. So I didn't see 42. Damn. Emily had recognized it from 42. I didn't see it. I don't know if it had played out on 42. I do know who wins 42.
Because me too, thanks to every podcast I've ever listened to about Survivor.
They just
We're not going to tell you who wins, though.
No, we don't do winner spoilers on this podcast, but... Mostly because we only know who wins like 10 of the 45.
Yeah. Mostly because we're fake fans.
No, we're fresh. We've got love we're in freshies. Our hearts for this show. So, yeah, I mean, it did kind of annoy me that Austin, you know what Austin was giving me? Austin was giving me Brandon and Danny vibes from last season where they were just not even paying attention to Carolyn. Like just two boys rocking out we're just ignoring Carolyn's existence, thinking she's a dumb idiot girl and she's not going to be anything. And yet there she is sitting at the final tribal throwing a middle finger up to you idiots. So it was giving that like I know that Austin probably like he spent 9 or so days with Jay. They may or may not be friends, like seems more like may not. But Kelly is like a brand new person, and they're not even he's not even trying to fake it, really. Like, he's like, you know what, sandwich immediately.
And here's why I think why, because he has three advantages at this moment in time. He feels very secure. He does not need any, he doesn't feel like he needs it, I think. And especially coming off of a loss, he wants the food, right?
Yeah.
It's also like, I think he had a great lie. I think he had a pretty good lie.
I mean, I would hope that he had told that to the other girls too, to say that lie. Because it could, you could easily be busted next episode. Now that we're at a merge,
you almost have to, because the amulet requires you to work with the other people unless you are taking the approach where you're just going to get them out. Oh, man. I can't wait to see this stupid shit play out. It all comes back to let the players do their thing and stop. I take it back. I would like for this to not have any impact on the rest of the game, because Jeff, you need to sit down.
Yeah, honestly. But no, it's going to, because someone's going to end up with the last amulet. But, you know, the last time you can use it is when there's six players in the game, seven. What'd they say? Six or seven?
I don't.
It was either six or seven. But either way, I think it was six, because Jay Maya said something like, let's just make a pact that we won't do anything about it until there's seven people left. And I'm like, what? Three of you are making top seven. There's 13 people left, girly pops. Like, there's fat chance is right. So either way,
it's silly. It's
so
silly.
Three amulets is an extra vote. Two is steal a vote. One is a straight up idol. So I was going to say they can't even use it until the merge anyway. But the merge is now. So I guess it's fine. So I was like, the merch felt so far away when this happened, but it's not that far away.
Especially because the three amulets requires, and I would love to see the logistics of how Jeff and the producers think this is going to shake out, that like you go in to a tribal council where everyone's on the same beach, it's post merge, and three people have the amulet, and he says, does anyone have an advantage they'd like to use? And all three of them pull up their amulets and say, like, we would like to cash in our three amulets for one extra vote. Is that how that has to work? Because they all have to agree on it. So what if like one person raises it and the other two don't, or two, you know, it's like,
no, they pull it out and they,
how does
they
this go?
Say, it's a decapa de melica mystica.
It's so witchy of them.
It's
cringy. Ludicrous.
It's ludicrous. Yeah. So I would have chosen the sandwich if it was me.
But we wouldn't have. I think because in the moment I was so tempted by the advantage that I was like, yes, go for the advantage. Now I'm like, I have time to think on it on a full belly.
No, if I hugged up that mountain, I'm eating the sandwich. Sorry.
Okay.
Okay. So now lastly, you know, he lies and says it was the sweat and coconut thing to win favor of Emily. The pizza on the votes, let's talk about it. So we're at Final Tribal, and Kendra puts a pizza. Kendra votes for Drew. Drew and Austin put a pizza, and they both vote for Brando. Emily votes for Brando, no pizza. Brando votes for Drew, no pizza. What is the pizza? Why? And how did they figure that out? Because Julia had said last night, like, it makes sense if you're going to put something on your paper to prove to your alliance that you stayed true. If I voted for Drew, I tell Julia, we're both voting for Drew. I'm going to draw a little alien on my piece of paper so you know it's mine. And it's like a secret code, and that's fine. But the three of them didn't vote for the same people. Honestly, Kendra looked like the most shocked person in the entire world. I can't believe she was that shocked.
The only thing I can think of now as you're saying this is if the pizza was Kendra's idea and she says, wait, no, just kidding. That doesn't make any fucking sense.
No, it doesn't make any
fucking
sense.
Who did Kendra vote for? She voted for Drew?
Kendra voted for Drew. Well, there was two votes for Drew, three for Brando.
Maybe it was Drew and Austin's way of saying, like, maybe they had a conversation where they're like, they, you know, as they break off into splinter into groups and say like one-on-one or like two-on-one or whatever, like, hey, what are you thinking tonight, blah blah blah, maybe the three of them had a conversation and it was said like, hey, put a pizza on your vote to prove it's yours, And they were like, let's just do it anyways, even though we're voting out her alliance or like,
yeah,
whatever.
But wouldn't like Emily have been in on
know.
That or Brando? I'm so confused.
I don't know.
Like,
I don't know.
I would
it's
love
a mystery
to know.
To me.
I would love to know. I need to go on Twitter and see if anyone wrote about it.
Yeah. It's strange to me because I thought I was like, oh, cute. They're all doing like a little cute thing.
Little cute.
Little
yeah.
cutie.
I don't know. But I don't Brando know. Goes home. He was a good goodbye. Like, you know, he did a little bit of the like Survivor con thing at Tribal, being like, when you're here, it's gorgeous, it's cool, it's fun. But he was sweet and he didn't want to go home. And I feel bad, but he, you know, he did his thing and he stayed a bit. He goes home right before the merge. That's a bummer. But honestly, we're only on episode 5 of 13 this season. Sometimes it's like 15 episodes. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah,
sense.
It's unfortunate. It was like, it was a pretty lackluster edit he got. I'm not going to lie. And I think it's unfortunate because there's so much that we don't see that happens on the island. Like, we got that very precious and iconic moment of him wearing the buff as a tube top, as anyone, you know, who's been watching has seen our girlies do over the years, which it was just like, it was very cute for him to do that.
Yeah.
He got some strategy in this week's episode. Did not bode well, did not pan out or work for him. But like, honestly, good on him for at least trying. If he did not have any of those moments and he still got voted out, I would have been like, oh, dud of a dud of a dud. But
agreed. After the tube top, I actually voted him in episode 2. I said he was my winner, if you recall.
No, did you?
Yeah, I said Keturah for episode 1, Brandon for episode 2. Brando for episode 2, not Brandon. Sorry, my boy.
Brendo.
And then we didn't. Yeah, Brindle. And then we didn't do it for this. We could do it now. I think my last thought before we say who our winner is that I'm really excited for next episode for Caleb and Emily to find out that Sean quit. I'm excited about that because I think they're going to like rush to the other people and be like, what was up? What's up with that? Like, because I'm sure they both assume like, you know, there's 4 Reba. They voted out the odd man out. So they didn't have this so they could stay Reba Strong. But that's absolutely not what happened. Even for 1 second, Reba Strong is not a thing, especially because like, I guess Mama J and Julie will team back up with Austin and Drew possibly. And then kick Jay Maya to the curb. We'll see. Any parting thoughts before our winner?
I want to talk to you about the edits that we're getting quickly.
Okay, tell me.
Because I feel like it came across very evident in season 44 that we were getting a Tika 3 edit, right?
Sure.
And those individuals, no spoilers, ended up to going very, very far.
Yeah.
I feel like this season, and maybe it's just because we're only a few short episodes into a long journey, but we have gotten a lot of Lulu.
Yes.
We've gotten
OG
a lot
Lulu.
Of Caleb, a lot of Emily. Yes. OG Lulu. We've gotten a lot of the two of them, and I have an idea right now who I feel like is getting a very strong edit and could mean that this is like their story, like it's like this season through their perspective. Who would you say might be like the next person that we get coverage? We get a lot of coverage of and edits for.
You're asking me.
I'm asking you. Who do you like? If you were to place like a third person, a third.
So
and
you're
a fourth
saying Caleb
person,
and Emily are the first two. Who's the third?
Which I think we could agree on. Like we're just getting a shit ton.
Honestly,
of them.
You know who's getting a lot of airtime is Kendra. She gets a lot of airtime, and I'm not just saying that because she's in my pool. Kendra, Austin, and Austin and Drew are getting a lot of airtime. So I would say Drew, Kendra, Emily, and Caleb would be a crazy top, a bottom four. Yeah, last four, you know, final four. I think that would be crazy. I think Drew's getting more time than Austin is, and
yes,
you know, they're the boys.
For some reason, I'm seeing like a Emily, Caleb, Drew, and Austin.
Okay.
Where Drew is going to have to play long game and Austin's going to go out on fire.
I love that. I love that.
I'm throwing out like a lot, like talking about like the fucking
she
finale.
Can see into the future.
I can see into the future. Push hands.
Yeah, I think that's great. I'm cool with that.
Austin and feels like a fire loss to me. Can't you see that? Can't you feel that?
I 100% feel that. And I think that with a Drew, Emily, Caleb final three, I would be leaning towards OG Lulu. But, you know, I think Drew is here to play the fucking game. And we'll see what he does over the next 7 episodes or whatever it is. Like he could, you know, anything can happen. We've got plenty of game left. That's why we play the game, you know? So we'll see.
Yeah.
But I think Emily and Caleb are our heroes of the season.
Yeah. It's so funny to me to consider this reality television show with, what do we start out with, 18 people, where I have protagonists. Like, I'm like, oh, these are our protagonists, you know?
Yeah, and then we have Bruce as the villain. And Brandon as the jester.
Correct.
The comedic relief.
Yeah.
I think that's great. I'm going to clip that, and then when you are correct, clip it and time save it. Does anyone have a newspaper?
No.
All right, great. I think that's a perfect place to land. Yeah. Anything you got left in the tank?
The last thing I would like to say is that I hope that the new tribe name, when they all are on the same island, is Sifu.
Me as well. Okay, perfect. I can't top that. So that's the episode. We'll be back for episode 6. We'll be rocking. We'll be rolling. We'll be pushing hands. And if you're listening on the Survivor feed, come follow Binged on TV. We're covering Fall of the House of Usher. We finished that up. That was fucking lit. If you haven't watched that for spooky season, get on it. We're doing Gen V, and we got a bunch of Wheel of Time coverage. They're doing book coverage. They're doing the show coverage, and we got a lot of fun stuff coming up. So hit subscribe and come hang out. Okay. We are Binge Town TV, and push hands, and then just touch
hands. And then just touch hands.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.